Are you awake or?
Amen. Mr. Gary and when Mr. Gary's here and Hillbilly Hank and Bob Baker. Thinking of or Bob the
Bobby.
Bobby Baker. I'm thinking about Bob the Builder. Right? One of those Bobs, right? That Bob guy. Amen. Well, so open your Bible. We were just talking about Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. You know, tonight we're going to be talking about being strong in the Lord. And, you know, sometimes, and I just say this, you look at the Bible and you see what percentage of people were in the right, meaning those who are correct or right, and it's a minority of people. And just think of it, sometimes when you are doing the right thing, it doesn't mean you're always going to be sometimes very popular or in the majority. Often when if you're right or you're doing things, often you're going to be the minority, you know. When you look at Moses and the Hebrews, I mean, I'm just sure glad that God and Moses didn't get on the same page on the same day. You know, God was ready to get rid of them, and Moses was like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And then he's like, well, these are your people. And God's like, well, you know, I'm sure glad they didn't get together on the same day or we'd be in trouble, right? Because we see there in Deuteronomy and other places where it said it, and it repenteth the Lord that he made man. And also in the days of Noah, that, you know, he was kind of like, almost kind of regret making man because of the heartache. But you'll look at people in the Bible that were right or on God's side, often they were in the minority. We see David at Ziklag with, you know, the Amalekites came and they took all of the gold, all of their wives, their children, their families, everything they owned. And here we go. What's to say after that? That his men were plotting to stone him. Right? They're ready to kill him. Now, I'm not really sure it was David's fault, but the main thing is, what did he do after that? He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go after him, and you'll get everything back, right? Now, he could have fallen into this self-pity, self-destructive mindset, got depressed, and just gave up, right? Okay, guys, just stone me. No. But what did he do? He overcame the obstacles. He overcame everything. Moses, he overcame the people that were coming against him. And, well, what happened to those people? Well, the ground opened up, swallowed them up, and that was not a good day for them. But anyway, anytime you're going to do the right thing, often you're going to be in the minority. And so don't be surprised by that. Amen? Especially when I remember listening to Pastor Hagin talking about just being picked on. Because his dad was Brother Hagin, right? And then you listen to Richard Roberts. I mean, he said he got beat up like every day because his dad was Oral Roberts. So, you know, there's a price to pay for doing the right thing and going down the right road. And the main thing is not to give up, get discouraged, but we're going to be strong in the Lord. And it's not always going to be popular. Ephesians 6:10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's very important. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. Often people are trying to do it in their own might, right? I got to get this figured out. I got to do this and I got to do this and we're going to get this done and blah, 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 blah. Well, there is something to say about putting your hand to something and being diligent. The Bible talks about the diligent will rule. Well, let me just say something. Often we're not ruling because we haven't been diligent. Right? You're thinking, well, you know, there's just so many things that are, no, the problem is we as Christians have had this mentality, like for example, politics, you know, we've got this big fat lie going around that, well, we got to have separation of church and state. Let me tell you what separation of church and state was. Separation of church and state was the reason why the pilgrims came over here was because the government was controlling the church. The church should influence the government. God and his people should influence the government. Well, what happened was the government was telling people what church to go to, what to do. You have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And then you also have a bunch of corrupt popes. You have a bunch of corrupt church, and you have people who are not really doing what God's will is, and then therefore they use and manipulate people, right? Now, just because we've seen that in the past and there's been some denominations or people that have abused people, it does not mean that the Word of God is null and void, and it does not mean that Jesus Christ is not still next to the God the Father on the throne, right? So again, I am basing my life off of Jesus and his teachings, not because of other people made mistakes, right? And that's where people will say, well, you know, those Christians, I just don't want to go back to church. I don't want to do this because this happened or this happened. So you're going to give up on God because of a few people. I'm sorry, but God's more important than people who've missed the mark, right? God is way more important than somebody that has done something to offend me or what I agree with or disagree. It doesn't really matter. You know, I remember John Brevere. How many know John Brevere? You know, he's got a lot of great teachings. He's a great teacher. He's got a lot of things. We've had a lot of his teachings in the past. And there was a series there. I remember him talking about a vision he had one time. And he was talking about, they're all kind of, you know, I remember going canoeing. You know, Adrian's dad and I went canoeing one time, or kayaking. And we went down the Des Moines River, and it's just kind of lazy. You're just kind of floating along, going right along with the current, you know, and you're just kind of going along, and everything's relaxing. We had a great time doing that. And so, you know, during the way, you'll come up to people and talk with people, and you got a sandbar here and, over here, and you're kind of maneuvering around, but it's not real hectic, but you're just going with the current, right? And it's easy to go with the current. You know, but I remember coming up to a couple spots where you're kind of fighting against the current, you know, because it's like, okay, I need to turn around. I need to back, go against the current this way so I can turn the boat this way, the kayak this way or whatever. And it's kind of hard. Well, John Brevere had this vision about all these people were just going along with the current. You know, they're just going with the flow. It's real easy and everything. And he said very few people, and it was at the end of it was destruction. He said everybody's just kind of going along with the flow and, you know, and nobody was fighting against anything. They were just kind of going with everything. And they didn't understand that there was destruction ahead and nobody was fighting against the current. And again, it's always easier to go with the flow. Everything that's going on, right? You know, we get, a lot of these people. But the problem with people who conform to everything. Now, we're not talking about being rebellious, and I'm not talking about that. Go break laws and just stir up trouble and everything. But what we're talking about is not conforming to the world system. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling people to go break laws and or go do things. We're not talking about that. But unless they're talking about, you know, like Hitler did, we were just talking about that earlier before church, you know, there just because there's laws does not mean it's moral, right? Like my grandfather, step-grandfather, was in a Nazi concentration camp, okay? And just because the Germans had Nazi concentration camp doesn't make it right. And they had laws where it was legal. That's not right. You understand what I'm saying? But we're not talking about ridiculous things where, you know, people are being hurt and killed and everything. But what we are saying is, against things that are manipulating you against the Word of God. And it's very serious. Now, again, many people who don't stand for anything will fall for anything. Right? And also, we're going to see, you see people, and there's a saying, and it's really true, it's easy to deceive people, but it's difficult to convince them of it. And we're seeing that now. Right? It's all these people are getting hooked into all this stuff, and they're not seeing what's really going on, right? And I've heard other Christians say, well, this vaccine's a mark of the beast, and I don't agree with that at all because the Bible is very clear about what the mark of the beast is. It says it's going to be on your hand or it's going to be in your forehead, right? It's very clear what that is, all right? So we're not insinuating that this is a mark of the beast or anything. So it's very, very clear. But I believe that it's a lot of these things are a precursor or testing for what people are going to do, right? Because the devil is out there to try to see what people are going to do, okay? Now, again, that's all your business, but I'm not going to say that this is the mark of the beast or anything like that. That's, no. But the point is this, that if we're not going to, people aren't going to stand for anything, they'll fall for anything. Matthew 7, right? And we see also, too, that people who don't stand for anything or fall for anything, they will be very, very contradict themselves because they fall for anything. They don't think through anything, all right? And tonight we're talking about being strong in the Lord. You know, here's the thing. It's like this. You've got to be convinced of something before you get there, right? I remember playing sports, and I usually played, when I played baseball, I played shortstop, and they're kind of one of the ringleaders of baseball, and I knew exactly wherever the ball was going to be hit, where I was going to go, what I was going to do before anything happened, right? I was convinced. I already knew what I was going to do before it happened, and I was anticipating, right? So, you know, being strong in the Lord is means you're settled on who you are and what you're going to do. For example, I don't go to the store and then say, okay, do I steal this or not, right? I've already made the decision before I get there that I'm not going to steal anything, right? But for some people, it's a struggle. Hello? So they're waiting until they get to temptation. They're waiting to get to the event to decide what to do, right? Rather than standing strong and saying, I'm already committed to this. When I get to this point, this is the action, right? Well, I don't know. Am I going to kill this person or not? No, I'm not going to do that, right? I've already made a decision. I'm not going to go around killing people, okay? That's out of the question, all right? But see, again, it's being strong in the Lord. It's like I've already had the outcome in my head before I even get there, right? And when I get into discussion with people, well, you know, Jesus is one of the ways. I'm like, no. He is the only way, the truth, and the life we see there in John. So again, I don't have to, you know, try to coagulate everything. But the point is this, I've already decided the outcome before I even get to the event. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and it says, don't criticize, and then you won't be criticized. For others will treat you as you treat them. And why worry about a speck in the eye of a brother when you have a board in your own? This is the Living Bible. Verse 4, should you say, friend, let me help you get that speck out of your eye when you can't even see because of the board in your own? Hypocrite, get rid of the board, then you can see and help your brother. Right? And so again, this comes back to a lot of, you know, non-Christians will say things like, for example, you know, well, you just can't judge me. Well, right, I can't judge you, right? The Lord says, I don't need to judge people, and we're not here to judge people. But it is okay, and obviously I can't judge heart motives, and that's why I tell people before, you know, they'll say things like, well, do you think they went to heaven? I have no idea, right? If somebody dies, I have no idea whether they're born again or not, right? That's between them and God. I can't, you know, whether something happened in their last breath and they, I've been there with people and they're, you know, where they've gotten born again just literally an hour before they die, they give their life to Christ, right? I have no idea. Again, it's between them and God. I can't judge somebody's heart. I can't judge their motive, but I can judge the fruits, the works of the flesh, right? So we can decide, okay, killing is bad, it's wrong. I mean, that sounds crazy when it just comes out of my mouth, right? It's like, stealing is bad, we shouldn't do it. So again, we as Christians, we know being strong in the Lord is we've already decided the outcome before we get there. Compromised people make a decision in the heat of the moment, right? Instead of deciding beforehand. And I remember reading this book one time talking about living a less, like having more of a complicated life, meaning this, when you have to decide or think about everything in life, it becomes more complicated. Do I get up and go to work today? Right? Do I eat? Do I take a bath today? I mean, it sounds ridiculous. But part of being strong in the Lord is I've already decided things before I even get there. You know? I've been spending more time working out lately and things like that. And it's like when I'm starting, I'm like, why am I doing this? Right? And then after I'm done, I'm like, yes, I did it. You know? It's like I'm hating myself. I shouldn't use that word, but I'm like torturing myself the whole time going, why am I doing this to myself? I can't believe I'm doing this. You know? It's discipline, all right? It's getting back to self-discipline. But we do have this. I can't judge whether somebody, again, goes to heaven or hell. I have no idea, but we can judge what we call the works of the flesh, and that's in Galatians chapter 5. What are those? I mean, you read it yourself, it's not good stuff, right? So Christ took on, let's go back to Jesus. Jesus took on a lot of challenges from religious council and worldly people. Being strong in the Lord, again, we got to focus on this, is not our ability. It's not our ability, right? There are people who obviously I disagree with, but I still care about them. Now, Jesus is so amazing because, you know, John chapter 3, it says he loved the whole world. And what consists of the world? People that don't like him. People that hated him. Antichrist people. People with the Antichrist spirit. It is Antichrist. They hated him, but he still loved them, right? Did he still love the Pharisees? Absolutely. Because we see in one instance where Jesus was there, and it says with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the people that despised him, and the Bible specifically says that the power of God was present to heal. So even though the people that fought against Christ, the Lord still stood strong in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and was still willing to heal people even when they didn't agree with him and even when he didn't agree with them, right? So again, it's still, am I going to do the right thing at this point, right? And I was just, we had somebody come over to the house, work on our house, and I was sharing, this guy, he and I were talking about church, and I was just kind of ministering to him while he was at our house and different things. And again, you know, we all get caught up with this where you just get so busy in life that you forget to stop and see people. And I do that a lot too, and I'm guilty of that, where I just get so caught up with the kids or life and doing things. You know, you're trying to wrangle little people together and do things, and then you don't see the people around you, you know, and I'm like, okay, I got to get better at this, you know. I want to get more focused on this than I have been in the past. But again, you know, part of being strong in the Lord is seeing things through his perspective, right? Pride is, well, I just know everything. I don't know everything. Right? Being strong in the Lord, let me just say this. Babies and immature people never think long term. Everything is about now, right? Your kids, it's all about candy. Well, we're going to eat in 10 minutes, but I want the candy. Shut up, right? Everything's now, 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 now. I want a banana. No, wait. Mom's about got supper ready. Right? See, it's about instant gratification. Alcoholics, what is it? It's all about instant gratification. It's all about getting drunk on the bus. People who have an addiction, right? I would say this, many people are not being strong in the Lord because of fear. That is the biggest, I think the biggest deterrent of people is because, number one, they're living in fear. Some people won't commit to Christ because of, let me just say this, identity. What I mean by that is some people are afraid to give up the old life. I remember I was for a while, right? I mean, you know, it was like, Lord, I want to live for you, but this is pretty boring, it looks like, over here, right? Nobody's having fun. Everything looks, you know, pretty awful, terrible life. Well, it's because your identity is wrapped up in things and in your lifestyle rather than a person, which is Jesus, right? So how can you be strong in the Lord when you're not going to commit to him? Some people are obviously, you know, I mean, whether they're, like, for example, some people go to the bar. That's their identity, going there, meeting their friends, seeing their people. It's a routine. It's what I do after work. It's where I go on the weekends. It's who I'm around. I do it, and I buy this, and blah, 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 and it's the way I make me feel, and I can decompress from this. And there's just on and on and on and on and on. Also, around unrenewed friends. But the fear of letting go of the old and moving forward with the new and loving relationship with Christ is too scary for some people to let it all go. So again, I believe we're living in a time period where you know, if you have a different opinion than, again, other people, they're going to think you're crazy. Well, we know that back then in, you know, even in Jesus' time, they thought he was crazy, thought he was nuts. He was, I mean, how dare you say that you're, you know, a son of God? Well, the Pentateuch said that Adam was a son of God. So therefore, we are children of God, right? Hello? Romans 1:21 through 23. I'm gonna move forward on this. This is a New Living Translation. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Wow, a lot of people now, huh? And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Here we go. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Now, what is he talking about here, the Apostle Paul? They became utter fools. It's because they wouldn't worship God and they wouldn't give him thanks. And then they created their own God in their mind. I mean, you ever hear these people sometimes, well, you know, my God wouldn't do that. Or my God wouldn't, well, no, yeah, because you've created this own God of yours in your own mind. Right? Well, you know, Jesus would never do that. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back with fire in his eyes, and he's going to be kicking tail and taking names. He's not going to play, right? So there's a whole other side of Jesus that we've never even seen before when he comes back after the tribulation. And it's not going to be, he's not going to be real friendly. He's going to do away with the wicked. So there's a whole side of God that we've never seen, but we see in Scripture, right? So again, it's part of God. God does get angry. I mean, you know, he says, that's why God says, you can get angry, but just don't sin in the process. And God does get angry, and he has been angry with people. And then it goes, so we see that because of this, that again, people who will not be strong in the Lord, they won't connect with him, they won't go to him, and they won't worship him, they won't have anything to do with him, and they've created these foolish ideas in their head. As a result, they became dark and, what does it say, confused in the New Living Translation. They claim to be wise. I see all over the TV, all these people, that, oh, they got it together, and they think that they're really smart and everything else too. But instead, they become, the Bible says, utter fools, right? And instead of worshiping the glorious, everlasting, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people. And I'm going to just say this, they worship themselves too, right? Because what is pride? What is rebellion? It's, the Bible says, the sin of witchcraft. And what is witchcraft? It's about controlling people. And it all comes back to pride and worshiping yourself, right? So anytime we think about this, anytime we disobey God, we're in pride and we're worshiping ourselves, because we're putting ourselves and our agenda above him. So if you want to be strong in the Lord, we're going to have to, we have to commit to him, his ways, and it's the word, and moving forward with him. And then it goes on, it says, instead of, again, worshiping them and worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. That's what I want to worship, is a reptile, right? That sounds just absolutely delightful. I don't think so, right? Here's a creepy snake. Yeesh. Psalms 2, 1 through 5. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. Love it. And New Living Translation. We're wrapping things up here. A few more scriptures and you'll be dancing up the aisles. I promise. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. I hope so. I mean, yeah, you never know. Verse 1, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord. Oh, that's going to turn out real good. Yeah, I can't wait for this. And against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, and I would say this too. The Bible talks about those who have persecuted me, those who have persecuted, basically, if you sin against your brother, you're persecuting God, right? The Lord. So, for example, you know, let me just kind of take a quick detour here. When Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded by the Lord, and the Lord said, why have you persecuted? He didn't say my people. He said, me. Now, did Saul persecute Jesus personally? No. But Jesus took it personal because he was attacking his people, right? So just think of it this way. When people come and attack you because of your faith, they're not attacking you. Jesus said they'll hate you because of what? Because of me. And so we can definitely say right here also that those people not only come against the Lord, but against his people, right? Because anytime that there's going to be an attack on his people, you ever notice that the old saying, an attack on one of the king's soldiers is an attack on the king? That's the same as in the kingdom of God. We do live in a kingdom, you understand that. And that's why it's so hard for sometimes us, we think that we don't really live in a democracy. We actually live in a republic here in America. I know our people keep saying democracy, democracy, democracy. It's actually a republic. In the republic for which it stands, you know, one nation under, can I say that? God, right? So, anyway, this is what he's talking about in right here. In the verse 3, let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. You know what? God is not upset by any of this stuff, right? It's not like God is up there taking antidepressants and upset and everything. He's like, they don't like me. Jesus, they don't like me. Gabriel, they don't like me. What's he doing? He's laughing, right? Because they're destroying themselves. I love the scripture because it really encourages me, because I'm thinking, you know what? These people are doing evil, bad things in the world. I mean, and they're trying to plot against the church, and, you know, they're trying to shut down churches and, you know, stick in these old people, you know, that are infected with these diseases in nursing homes and doing all this crazy stuff and hurting people. And I mean, they're going to get their time. Their time's coming. Whatever man sows, they're going to reap, right? And just this stuff doesn't go away. It's God sits back and laughs and is going to deal with them. Then he goes on and he says, then in anger he rebukes them. Here we go. Terrifying them with his fierce fury. That's something I don't want to be part of. But guess what? Guess who doesn't worry about this stuff? Those who are strong in the Lord. You and I, right? See? The Lord has not been out of shape about anything. He's got it under control. We're the ones that get bent out of shape, right? He's got the 10,000 foot view. He can kind of see everything. You know, I remember when I was, all the time I'd be flying around when I worked for Faith Library Publication. I'd be up on the plane and I'd be looking down. I'm like, you know what? It's amazing. You see thousands and thousands of homes. You know, I remember flying into California, Riverside, California one time, and John Wayne Airport there, and flying in there, and I was looking over, and you see thousands of people, all these swimming pools and everything in California, you know, and you're like, here I am looking, and I know that each person in each one of those homes, they have problems, right? And they're really concerned about things. And there's things in each one of those homes that you know that some of those people are up at night thinking about, worried about, concerned about. And from this point, it's just like, it's just another, I mean, it just looks all like just part of the, right? And that's the way God views things. It's like, hey, got it under control. It's just one of how many other things I'm working out for you. Ephesians 6:10, and it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? Again, people are trying to figure everything out in their own ability. You know, especially everything that's coming up right now. You know, there's new news sources coming up all the time that's giving really good information. You know, I can sit down on all day long and watch this stuff, but you know what? I'm never going to figure it out. God's going to have everything. Everything's going to play out. God's going to take care of things. And I can't figure everything out. I can't make it work, you know? I can't, you know? You be the president of the United States and you can't control everybody. You can't control everything. You can't make everything happen. It doesn't matter how much power you have or anything else. You can't control every person. You can't control every situation. You know, doesn't matter what you're going to do, you're still going to have things, right? And again, you know, I would say this, before, you know, Israel became a nation again back in 46, you know, a lot of the old timers, they really didn't think about, there wasn't as much focus on Jesus coming back and the rapture until we started seeing what? End time things coming to pass, right? Now, I mean, especially after World War II, now you're talking, you know, there's more of a, hey, Jesus is coming back. Hey, there's a rapture here. Whoa, Israel, just after 2,000 years, now they're becoming a nation again. And so we're seeing new things happening all the time. And we're still developing, but we're still resting in his power and his might. And so, you know, we can get in trouble when we're trying to figure everything out. That's what we call getting the flesh. What is it? What does the Bible talk about? Getting in the flesh. That means when you're trying to rely on your natural ability to do everything, right? I like what Pastor Hagin always said when we were at Rhema. It was like when the natural and supernatural come together, it's a powerful force, right? You know, when we're laying, eating Cheetos, going, God, you know, praying, doing nothing, you know, it's when we put feet to something and do pray and do the natural, then that's when powerful things happen. 2 Chronicles 6:9, this is the last scripture here, and I want to read out of King James, and then we'll read out of the Living Bible, but it says, this is good news. This is good news. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He is looking for people, guys. Right? You know, we don't have any touchy-feely people if I say guys, right? I mean just people, right? Okay? Gentlemen, ladies, and little people, and fuzzy people, and whoever else came in here today. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from thenceforth you shall have wars. So they disobeyed. But here's the main thing we want to get to, the first part of this verse. God is looking for people to show himself strong to. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said that God will overlook a million people just to get to somebody who has faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith, and he is a respecter of those who what diligently seek him, right? You know, like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, here we got all these people, and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, I mean, come on. There's like all of these people all around you, and you said, who touched you? What was it? Because he was focused on a woman that had faith and that was diligently seeking him. Because right here, it says right here that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. What did that woman say before she touched Jesus? If I can only touch his garment, I'm going to be well. I'm going to be made whole. And God is looking for those people, right? And Jesus was looking for her. The Living Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth. God is looking for people to show himself to. God is looking for people to reveal his will to. God is looking for people. I remember Gary talked about a while back, a few years ago, had a message that was really good. God isn't into peekaboo, you know? He's just out here open, right? God's not necessarily playing peekaboo. He's like right out here in front saying, here I am. I'm looking for you. I'm opening myself up to you. Looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards him so that he can show his great power in helping them. You know, God wants to help us. Religion and the world are trying to tell us that God doesn't care. He's not interested in man. That old stuff is old. We got medicine now. We got science now. We got all this stuff. And that's all old hat. Well, you know what? Sin is still sin. And it doesn't matter what we do, how many college degrees we have, you know, how educated we think we are and how domestic we think we are. It all comes back to him wanting to make himself available, connecting with us in the Garden of Eden like he did with Adam and Eve. It's a really good teaching that I've got it on CD. It's very good from Kenneth Copeland about covenant. And, you know, without covenant, we are scoundrels because we have nothing to base our word on. We have contracts. It's like, well, we signed a contract. Well, we'll just get an attorney and get us out of it, right? Because it could be broken. But covenant is, it can't be broken unless you're dead. That's it. That's the only thing. Like marriage. Marriage is a covenant that in those vows is the only thing you're really, you know, get out of it is a death, right? So again, it's one of those things where covenant comes into effect here. And the world doesn't understand those things. They just, you know, anything we can just get out of it, it doesn't matter. We'll just, you know, we're... And this is the funny thing, too, that we see people that are supposedly now, they think they're really educated and, you know, we've got all of these we've got it all under control now because we're smarter and we're educated, and you know, the world's learning doubles every 22 months now. So every 22 months, human knowledge doubles, and we're just getting so much smarter and this and this and this, but we need more drugs. We have more of a drug problem than ever before. You know, the whole war on drugs, yeah, that's a joke, right? If we were so educated and so wonderful, how come we need dope now? How come we have all of these states that want to legalize drugs and everything else too? But if we're so centered and so great and so amazing and so intellectual and so wonderful, why do we need a release? It's because there's a God void in us. People have a God void. They're not filling it up with Him. Amen? And so God is looking for people. And the problem we're not connecting with is because people aren't looking for God. Right? Because God's looking for us. He's searching for us. You know? It's interesting because when you spend time with God, you'll hear Him say things. That there will be things that He'll say. There are things that we talk today when we were, and I probably should talk more about maybe when my dialogue with the Lord and how I connect with Him and what we talk, and even now when I'm talking, he'll speak things to me up here when I'm just different things throughout the day. But when you become religious in your thinking that you have to go to Him in a certain way, when I go to Him and I hear the Holy Spirit on the inside, and you get that strong, His voice, you can hear it. And I don't mean voice, not necessarily audible. I've had it happen before where it's audible, but that's very rare. But on the inside, when you start talking to Him, the first thing that when I start talking to Him in the day or any time that I'm connecting with Him, often His phrase that He connects with me with is, "I've been looking forward to talking with you today. I want to know what you're thinking today." And so it's a relationship when he speaks to me, because He wants to draw all these things, because he's waiting for me. And when you're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. What was the Holy Spirit doing? Waiting for the Word. He was waiting for the voice. He was waiting for God to show up to connect with the power, to provide the power. And when I speak with the Lord, my relationship, often, many times, His first things that He will say to me is, "It's so good to connect with you. I've been waiting to talk with you." I think it's interesting because His switch is ready to turn on to connect with me. He's waiting for me to engage Him. And so this scripture is so powerful. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. You know, when you connect with the Holy Spirit, it's something where, I mean, it doesn't, I mean, it's hard to imagine when somebody who doesn't, you know, where the average churchgoer, where they darken the door, they go home, they don't understand, they never connect with the Holy Spirit, they never talk with Him. You know, it's almost like I'd rather not have air than be without Him. You know, I'd rather stop eating than be separated from Him. I take a bullet for Him. And when you're that focused on, okay, he is really, like, there really is nothing like Him ever. And you connect with Him in the spirit realm, that's where your life begins. That's where life begins, right there. And, you know, like our girls and kids, you know, we can tell them about the Lord. But when I'm home, and they think I'm crazy all the time, but like today I'm dancing, I have this praise and worship going on and everything. Why? Because I love God, right? I don't just tell them about it. It's like I display, this is who I am, right? I will go through and sing, even though how bad it is, whatever. I just make a joyful noise unto Him, and I sing out to Him, and I'm dancing and everything else too, because I don't care, because what's in me has got to come out. And so, you know, the Lord is looking for all of you to engage Him. And now, just as I close, you know, the thing that we can pick this up, and, you know, we can read it, and I've, you know, and you can read, you know, Adrian was in religion, and you know, I mean, you can look at this from a poetic standpoint, this and you know, he was here, and we can analyze it through all of these theological, and theology is simply just understanding about God, but it never connects you with Him. That's the problem. You know, we can get a map, and we can trace Jesus' steps, and I can go through and explain all of, you know, Paul's three missionary journeys, and we can go through the Asia and through up Europe, and then he came back down, and he came back around, and then he stayed over here in Ephesus, and these four are the prison epistles, and we can go all day long and talk about that stuff, but it doesn't connect us with Him, right? And that stuff is okay, but if we're not talking with Him every day and just saying, just pouring ourselves out and go, God, I don't know what to do here. I mean, I just need your help. I mean, I just talk to Him like I'm a kid sometimes, right? Because what is it that we have to have childlike faith, right? What is childlike faith? It just means I have no ability in myself, and I rely completely on You to feed me, to take care of me, to help me, to do whatever. Right? And I'm not saying that, you know, medicine is bad and doctors are bad. I don't want everybody to get anything like that. But I think that we need to put stock and faith in Him. Right? Well, I'll just go get this and do this for finances. Okay, maybe that's a God idea. But what about believing Him to show you the way? Right? And again, it's getting past. Everybody deals with it. I don't care. You're in a body and you have a brain and you're in this physical realm. We all deal with trying to do things ourselves and figure things out and doing things in the flesh. And I mean, I don't, until the day you die and step over to be with Jesus, we're all going to deal with it. Amen. I deal with it all the time. Everybody does. But I love Him. Amen. And He's looking for us to show Himself strong so that what He can do, what? Bless us and help us. Amen. I just think that we as believers need to get back to stop complicating things and just get back to a very simple childlike faith with Him. You know, I remember ministers were like staying in hotel rooms or, you know, next door to Brother Hagin, or he'd be staying at, you know, I remember back in the days when I was a kid, we'd have people stay in our house, you know, from churches or music groups would come through, and we would house people in our home, and, you know, guest ministers would stay at pastors and everything else too. And they were talking about, you know, people would, he said, that Brother Hagin, he's just like, sounds like he's just talking to somebody. Like there's somebody in the room with him. Well, duh. That's what it should be like. Amen. In our home. And so, you know, I believe that our kids are hungry for this too, guys. I believe they want to see the real thing. Amen. And I want them to see the real thing. Father, we come before You tonight, Lord. Lord, we love You. And we know that You're searching to and fro, looking for those. And Lord, we say, look no further. We're here. Right here, Lord. We thank You. And my prayer tonight is this too, that we have more people outside of these walls that are hungry to connect with You. Lord, that God, there is something happening in this church. There is something happening in this city. There's something happening in the state and this nation and this world. But Lord, we say that there is a fire, an inferno falling on us. Lord, a hunger for Your voice and a hunger for Your word like never before. And that we're seeing people like never before, Lord. Jesus, we love You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord.